This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Winter's coming, and so are the bats. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. When temperatures start to cool down, animals like birds and geese migrate to warmer areas to avoid the cold, some making pit stops in Chicago. But those aren't the only critters making their way through the city. So are bats. Don't be surprised if you start to see more bats in your life. Chicago Animal Care and Control officials say that they've received an influx of 311 calls about the winged mammals since the temperatures dropped earlier this month. So, what should we know about these little guys? Why are they here, and do we have anything to worry about? To answer all of our bat questions, we talked to Liza Lehrer, Assistant Director of the Urban Wildlife Institute at Lincoln Park Zoo. And I started by asking Liza about this timing. I mean, come on, with Halloween around the corner, it's kind of perfect.
We kind of have two different groups of bats in Chicago.
Okay.
They're typically here during the summertime, our resident bats. Those bats are moving on. They're hibernating into caves. But then there's this other group of bats that can be hanging out in the summer, but for the most part are actually in other areas and are migrating through Chicago to warmer places to spend their winter. So Very similar to birds. They're kind of following those insect resources.
And they're following that same migratory path or similar path, at least where Chicago's one of the stops?
They can, yeah. North to south, they're going to warmer areas. And in those areas, they're going to then stay kind of more active through the winter. They might go into kind of bouts of a deep sleep, what we call a torpor, in those spaces. And so, you know, when they're moving through Chicago, they're doing a similar thing. I think very much like birds that use Chicago as stopover habitat along their migration routes, they're coming to Chicago and feeling like they need to take a nice rest before they can move on to warmer climates. And so that's why we're seeing this big influx of bats at this time. It's those particular migratory bats, which include the silver-haired bats, and the eastern red bats.
Silver-haired bats?
Yes. Yeah. So they're a dark bat, colored bat, and then they have these silver tips on their fur.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So they're very lovely.
I need to see a picture of that.
Yeah, they're lovely.
So they're making pit stops to rest along the way.
Exactly.
As they're doing this, right?
Yep. And so, you know, we're seeing an influx of them right now. This is a typical time period in which we're seeing this happen. We get a lot of calls like this at the zoo about seeing these sightings of bats.
And are people like freaking out, or are they?
Yeah, I mean, I think
understanding.
It's a combination of just curiosity. Like, is this something that's typical? Do I need to do anything? Is it okay? And then sometimes it's concern for the bats because you'll see them really not moving at all. They'll go into this deep state of torpor sometimes for a day, maybe a few days, sometimes several days at a time, and it looks like they're not moving at all. They may not be. They're sleeping pretty deeply, but eventually they will move on. So they're not typically staying here over the winter. Eventually they will kind of, after they've had that deep sleep, they'll get up and go about their journey and head out. So it's usually not something to worry about, even if you've seen that bat hanging out there for several days.
Yeah.
As long as it's in a place that, you know, obviously is not inside your human, your home.
Just leave it alone. It'll leave you alone.
Exactly. If it's out on a tree, if it's out on the side of a building that's not impacting you, just leave it alone. Eventually it will move on.
Yeah. We'll settle this debate, Liza. I mean, is there actually an uptick here in the number of bats, or is this just business as usual?
Yeah. So I haven't been able to look at the hard data here about this, but it does seem, at least from the number of reports.
Yeah, what does it seem like to you?
Yeah, it seems more than usual at this time period.
Okay.
And, you know, why that might be happening is for a variety of reasons. You know, I think the temperatures kind of late in the summer were a bit warmer, and then we kind of had a pretty sudden cold snap here. So
yeah.
There wasn't kind of a gradual tapering into fall. So it may be that
people were wearing shorts yesterday.
Right. Well, then there was that too. Yeah. So it may be that, you know, bats were moving along their migratory route and then suddenly realized, oh, it's really cold. I need to, you know, keep moving, or I need to take a break here all at once. And so they kind of got pushed by the weather patterns into these kind of concentrated periods of times, kind of similar to what we were seeing with migratory birds.
Yeah.
Because of some of the storms that were coming in. So, you know, I suspect it's a very similar pattern with bats as well.
Yeah. So those factors, so changes in climate, I guess diversity of the local insect population, that's causing impact on all these animals. Because I'm even thinking back to that story last month about the flamingos in Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Similar thing here, it sounds like.
Yeah. Similar thing here. I mean, we think bats are, you know, behaving really similarly to birds. And so things like storms, things like insect populations, mm-hmm. concentrations of those resources are going to influence bat migratory movements as well.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, you've gotten a lot of calls about bat sightings. And I think it's interesting that folks see bats and think, oh, let me call the Urban Wildlife Institute, because let me tell you right now, Liza, that's not what I would be thinking if I saw a bat in my backyard. So tell us a bit more about some of the stories they're telling you, what they're seeing. Are the bats just in their backyard? Are they in underpasses?
Yeah. So for the most part, and this is, you know, very typical of what we hear every year, both in the spring and in the fall, is that they'll see a single bat kind of hanging out on a window screen, mm-hmm. on the side of a tree, on a building or something like that, and then just not really moving. So there's a lot of question about, is it okay for a single bat to be in alone? Sometimes I think people have this association of bats as being, you know, big colonial species, really social. You see a lot of images of hundreds of bats, right, in
That's
a cave
right.
or something mm-hmm. like that. Those are certain types of bats are very social like that. So our big brown bats are the types of bats that are hibernating in caves. They have these big maternity colonies where there's hundreds of them all together. But there's also these migratory bats, which are the bats that we're seeing right now, that are solitary for the most part. So seeing one individual bat on its own sleeping is a typical behavior that you might expect to see.
I see. So what do you do once you get the call? Where are you taking the bats?
So typically, we'll get, we have an email address actually called batsignal@lpzoo.org.
Of course it is.
Of course. And what we're interested in, because we've been doing research for over 10 years now on bats in the Chicago area, as part of our long-term biodiversity monitoring research at the Urban Wildlife Institute, we're studying all types of animals that live in cities because we're trying to understand how cities can be better designed to support wildlife and be places where humans and wildlife can coexist. So we've been studying bats for many years now, primarily using acoustics. We're recording their echolocation calls as they're flying around the environment, navigating and foraging. They're emitting these ultrasonic pulses. We can record those and identify them to species. So we have a really good understanding of what bats are hanging out in Chicago, especially during the summertime. And so from that, we're really interested in also hearing from the public. Where are their sightings? Where are they seeing bats that maybe we haven't been able to study those neighborhoods yet?
Mm-hmm.
So we're really interested in getting those sightings from folks. And when people email us and let them know, I can usually encourage them to just leave the bat alone, that it's not a concern if they're just seeing them kind of hanging out and resting during the daytime.
So you're working with communities to monitor bat populations. So tell us a bit more about the citizen science project that you've got going.
Right, exactly. So for about 5 years now, we've been running a community science program called Bat Tracker. And through that, we have worked with volunteers. Initially, we were working with a lot of natural areas, folks who are working with the park district to restore natural areas and parks. So they're folks that are really excited and invested in their parks, and they're interested in learning about the wildlife that are benefiting from those restoration efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've worked with volunteers for a number of years now. They go out at dusk and record echolocation calls by walking paths throughout the parks. And it's a really fun and engaging way to get involved in science and into research and learn about the bats and the other ecology of these urban spaces. And also learn about other nocturnal wildlife that are out there. Yeah. Which
and this data
think about.
That you're collecting, what do you do with it?
So that is going into our massive long-term data set of not just bats, but, terrestrial mammals and birds that we've been collecting for a long time. But what this offers us is a way to collect more fine scale information about where bats are hanging out in a particular site. Because people are walking around within the park, we can learn about where the hotspots of bat activity is and then look at what the exact features are of the landscape that's helping to support bats in those areas.
Well, I think there's a lot of fear around bats, right? And some possibly fair, right? You know, some maybe not so much as you've described. But I think some people are worried about diseases and they're worried about being bitten. Me, I'm just kind of creeped out about the whole like sleeping upside down thing. I think that's what does it for me. But we do have to talk about the theory that COVID came from bats. What do you think that people should know about the potential health risks since we're talking about it and the diseases that we as humans can pass to them?
Yeah, sure. So, there have been concerns certainly of bats and COVID. I think within Illinois, the primary concern is that bats are a rabies carrier.
Okay.
So we certainly want to caution people to obviously not interact physically with bats. We don't want, just like any wild animal, to approach
don't
them.
Don't go up and pet it. It's not a
don't
dog.
Don't touch. Yeah.
Right.
We really discourage people from having any kind of physical contact with wild animals at all, but especially bats because of the rabies concern. However, rabies is, fairly rare on the landscape, especially when we think about the number of bats that are likely flying around. And so it's a pretty low percentage of the bats that are submitted for testing, say, to the state, the Illinois Department of Public Health. But because of the serious concerns, if you do come in contact with a bat, even if you're not sure, maybe you were sleeping or you're unable to be, certain that you haven't come into contact with a bat and you found one in your home, for example, you certainly want to reach out to your healthcare provider and take the necessary precautions.
Oh, for sure. Well, why don't you leave us with this? What is your favorite bat and why? I know.
Oh my.
I'm asking the tough questions today,
I'm on the
Liza.
Spot. I really like the hoary bat.
I thought you were going to say the silver-haired one.
Oh, they're all wonderful. They all have their unique qualities.
So why
course.
Do you like the hoary bat?
I like the hoary bat because they're very pretty. They have multiple colors. They have gray and kind of black and golden highlights. They're also the largest bat in our area. So we do have about 8 bats in the Chicago area. People might be surprised to learn that. Mm-hmm. And they're a large bat. They flow slowly. They make these low kind of long calls. So I just like their kind of relaxed demeanor,
And mystique.
Yeah, yeah.
My producer said, I think she probably just Googled it. She said, they look fuzzy.
Yeah.
So they're colorful, big, and fuzzy. Love
exactly.
it. Liza Lehrer is Assistant Director of the Urban Wildlife Institute at Lincoln Park Zoo. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
This spooky episode of the Reset Pod was produced by Meha Ahmed and edited by Linnea Dominic and Ethan Schwab. If you enjoy Reset, consider subscribing to the pod so that you never miss an episode. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.